Taylor versus Ashcroft. Ms. Ajami.
Good afternoon. Mirna Ajami on behalf of the Orihuelas. This case is about a widow and her three sons who fled threats of imminent harm at the hands of the FARC after the FARC had threatened and then murdered their husband and father. The FARC is a leftist terrorist organization created in the 1960s as a peasant army seeking to overcome social inequality and concentrated land ownership in Colombia. Its political goal to this day is to establish a Marxist state and to overcome this inequality. The Orihuelas are a prominent landowning family, and they represent the status quo which the FARC seeks to overcome. Viewing the Orihuelas case in this political context compels reversal of the IJ's denial of asylum. The unique circumstances of the Orihuelas case do not present a simple case of extortion. Rather, the FARC persecuted the Orihuelas to punish them for their ideological...
Although, this is probably very artificial, but suppose you had some poor person in Colombia who won the lottery and had millions of dollars. Wouldn't FARC shake them down, shake that person down also?
The FARC might shake them down for money, but the FARC would not persecute them on account of their membership in a cultural, contextual, social
FARC
group of landowners.
Kill the guy if he didn't pay up.
Well, the unique circumstances of this case is not about the simple demand for extortion or a request for money. After Mr. Orihuela refused to comply with the FARC's demand and failing to pay any extortion, that was the expression of his political opposition to the FARC.
No, but
the
I FARC understand. Did just I mean, your argument, I don't think it's a bad argument, but your argument is that this group persecutes the bourgeoisie and the government is so weak it can't protect them. So that... You know, like what the Soviet Union did in the 20s and 30s until it eliminated the bourgeoisie. So that's fine. But if somehow a non-bourgeois became wealthy, wouldn't FARC still be extorting from him just the way they did from the... So that in a way there's no causal relationship between your status and what happens to you. It's just your wealth. That's the only thing that's...
Right, and that wouldn't rise to the level of persecution.
But do we know the FARC would target this poor person who wins the lottery? Or what do the State Department reports suggest about this hypothetical? Or what evidence is there that would... I mean, maybe they would, maybe they wouldn't, it seems to me. They might say, aha, one of ours has finally come into his own, you know, we'll celebrate. Or maybe they'd say, we'll take the money wherever it comes from. And I don't know which of those two hypotheses is correct.
Right. And first, the State Department does show that the FARC has a policy of targeting wealth in and of itself. That's not the Orihuela's case. And what the Orihuela's case does raised to this court's attention is that the well-founded, to merit asylum, you do have to show past persecution and a well-founded fear of future persecution. And in the Orihuela's case, there's clear evidence of the past persecution on account of the membership in a particular social group of privileged landowners and also on account of their political opposition. So that's what makes their case different from the targeting, the FARC's policy of targeting wealthy people for extortion, which is part of the State Department record.
Have there been any asylum cases out of Zimbabwe where there's targeting of, they happen to be white for the most part, you know, but big landowners as part of a wealth redistribution effort?
I have not seen any published federal cases on Zimbabwe. However, there are cases from the Philippines that are cited in my brief and from Haiti, which also show, again, in countries in which the political context is such that guerrilla organizations operate either motivated by some sort of class struggle or also impute a political opinion to a class based on their status in society, that rises to the level of persecution either on grounds of political opinion or social group. Mm-hmm. Where the IJ erred in this case is as he failed to take this political context in consideration on the social group ground. He focused solely on the issue of wealth. clearly ignoring a Board of Immigration Appeals precedent in Acosta, citing land ownership as a shared past experience that for purposes of social group classification. And also, again, on the issue of political opinion, immigration judge erred there again in saying that this was just a case about extortion. He failed to see.
That struck me as pretty weak. I mean, most of the political opinion cases we get involve people who are very prominent members of say, a particular political party or somehow really out front on political view. And Mr. Orjuela seems like he was just somebody who was living his life, you know, as a relatively wealthy man, and they resented him for that and thus killed him. But wasn't, you know, up there on a soapbox proclaiming the virtues of capitalism.
Right, but he was living in an area that's highly contested between FARC guerrillas and AUC paramilitary organizations. AUC is primarily funded by landowners. That political opinion, anti-FARC, antithetical to communism, and an alliance with perhaps the AUC could have been imputed to the
Orjuelas. We don't have much evidence, though, of any link between Mr. Orjuela or the family and the AUC group, do we?
No, but then after once Mr. Orjuela refused to pay the FARC's extortion demands, that in and of itself is an expression of his political opinion opposing the FARC and its purpose. And Ms. Orjuela provided credible, detailed, consistent testimony in the record that her family is opposed to the political objectives and ideals of the FARC. And Saul and Carlos themselves testified on the stand that we do not believe in anything that this guerrilla organization believes. And they were marked at that time. They were marked by the act of their father in refusing to pay the extortion demand as being in opposition to the FARC's political goals. And their father suffered the ultimate punishment and retaliation for his political opposition to them, murder. And when the sons themselves were approached and knew that they could never change their fundamental and ideological opposition to the FARC, the group that murdered their father as well, they themselves were at imminent threat of that same fate.
Does the record show anything about the circumstances under which Mrs. Orjuela was living when she was living with her sister? The government argues on the one hand that, you know, she just moved to another city and she comfortably lived in this somewhat more modest circumstance. And I thought I detected a hint in your briefs that she was more or less in hiding, that she was keeping a very low profile, but I couldn't tell what's in the record one way or the other.
At the end of her testimony, she does provide some details that she couldn't leave the house. She knew that the FARC knew her car. They could identify her in Cali, that she didn't move. Essentially, she placed herself under personal house arrest out of fear of the FARC. Her sons had been followed from university. The FARC knew their bank accounts. They knew their citizenship ID numbers. And again, the State Department reports are absolutely clear that the FARC operates in 1,000 of 1,097 departments in Colombia, including Bogota. I see that my time is going to rebuttal.
Thank you, Ms. Mr. Fiorino.
Good morning. May it please the court. If you look at the facts of this case, the actual evidence in the record, it's very clear that what the FARC was interested in was obtaining money and nothing else.
Well, I don't think it's
so
clear because we don't have cases where you have people who are not members of this landowner class but have money for some reason are shaken down by FARC, do we?
I'm not aware of any cases out there, Judge Posner.
It's not a matter of cases. It's a matter of information.
Information, correct. But what?
Isn't that critical? Because if they, granted, of course, they want money from the rich and so on, but if their focus is on this class of rich people, as viewed as a class rather than just as deep pockets, then that would be persecution.
It would be, but we contend that under the facts of this case, it's not.
But how can you tell?
Well,
given the example that I was suggesting, I mean, certainly FARC. Your problem, I think, is that there's this big overlap. If you're a Marxist group. Redistribution of wealth, if you will, is a central tenet of your organization. So, of course, you're going to hit the rich. And you have to explain why that, how one tells the difference between what you say is mere extortion and a political agenda. Obviously, as Judge Posner was saying, the Russian Revolution and the Soviet Union in the 20s or the Zimbabwean situation right now, or there are many instances where there's a huge political element to the wealth redistribution function. Why not here?
Well, the FARC does many different things for many different reasons. They've got a political agenda. They've got
but you don't deny agenda. That their political agenda is a Marxist communist sort of agenda. That's pretty
that is
firmly
true.
Established.
Absolutely. But the issue is, why did they target these petitioners and what did they want? Not every political organization
does
everything.
You know what
they
want. It's the why question. So they did it just because they're rich, or because they're rich and members of this hated class.
I'd ask the court to look at the record itself. The strongest evidence, we think, comes from two areas in the record. The petitioner's testimony herself. She said, well, why don't you think you could return to Colombia? She says, we're being persecuted by a group of people who are chasing money, who would like to gain strength through the hard work and honorable work of others so that they can buy their weapons and live off the money of other people. No mention of politics, no mention of social group. And most importantly, the letters from FARC itself. We asked the court to look at pages 204 to 208, which is a rare instance where you have somewhat direct evidence from a persecutor. And you read those letters, it doesn't say anything about politics. It doesn't say anything about social group. And all it says is, we want your money.
That's all they're interested in.
Well,
it's people. That's the difference between what they want and the why question. One thing that troubles me and I'm not sure you embrace this, although you did quote it with apparent favor, is this notion that to be a victim of persecution, you have to have been singled out on the basis of an immutable characteristic.
You're talking about...
You're not going to defend that, are you?
With respect to membership in a social group? Because the immutable characteristic... analysis is relevant in the membership in a social group. Or are you talking about political opinion?
Whatever you want. What I don't understand what immutability does in any setting.
Well, immutability is relevant in the context of membership in a particular social group.
Why? I mean, suppose that these bourgeois people could avoid being persecuted as bourgeois by abandoning their bourgeois lifestyle, going to work as stonemasons and developing calluses on their hands. Would that mean that their bourgeois identity not being an immutable characteristic would mean they couldn't complain about persecution?
Well, I think your example is a very good illustration of why wealth should not be considered
to
be...
You didn't answer my question.
What's that?
You didn't answer my question.
So the position of the United States is that wealthy people have to give away all of their possessions
No.
and go work as janitors to avoid being found members of a social class in a Marxist environment where they're being persecuted? And they can avoid being wealthy. It's very easy not to be wealthy.
Certainly. Within the asylum statute, you have to show persecution on account of five statutory grounds.
We understand that. And the question is, could social class be members of the rich elite in a country where a group like FARC or somebody like Robert Mugabe's people is persecuting the wealthy elite?
We don't think that a social stratum constitutes a particular social group. If you look at the definition...
So that didn't happen in the Russian Revolution either?
It did happen in the Russian Revolution, but we're saying it's not
why
necessarily
not?
Here.
I mean, why can't it be happening in another situation then, if it happened then?
It could be. Okay.
Okay, so you just told me it couldn't be, and now you're saying it could be.
Well, I'm trying to clarify.
So what is the significance of immutability in the context of social class persecution?
Immutability is a requirement to show a contiguous social group.
So we come back to the situation, if the bourgeoisie can de-bourgeois themselves, as the children of the rich sometimes do, and become working class, then that means that they can't be victims of persecution. Is that what you're saying?
They can't be victims of persecution on account of their membership in a social group if that social group is not well defined, which, as we say,
you're evading my question. You're evading my question.
They could be. Let me try to answer it again.
So what is why don't you just abandon immutability and say it's another clumsy mistake of the Immigration Service to talk about immutability? Because immutability has no significance, surely, right?
If you
belong to a religion that's being discriminated, persecuted, you can abandon the religion. Then you're not persecuted again. So having a religious identity is not immutable. Race and sex and ethnicity and national origin are, but not religion. So does that mean that there's no concept of religious persecution?
There is when it's on account of religion. But again, immutability is in the social group analysis. It's a subset of the social group.
Yes, but then the question is, in a society, in a caste, you know, a highly class stratified society in which you have an upper class, a bourgeois class, are you saying that there can never be persecution against that class, because anyone who's a member of that class can cease to be such by simply abandoning his position and, you know, going to become a laborer?
No, we're not saying that.
So immutability has no significance.
In terms of wealth. It's because wealth is not immutable.
But the issue is not the immutability of wealth. The issue is that being wealthy as such does not identify a class, right? Because that would mean that rich people in a society which had very poor law and order would be victims of persecution because they'd be constantly being robbed. Need to have them identified somehow as a group, not just as people who have deep pockets.
Correct.
But the thing that identifies them as a group doesn't have to be immutable. One of the things your opponent complains about is that the immigration judge never actually made a finding as to the motives of FARC.
I think that the immigration judge did make a finding with regard to the motives of FARC. I thought that the IJ was fairly clear that they were interested in obtaining money and didn't target the petitioners be based on their political opinion or their membership in a social group. I think that's what the record is very clear on that.
Well, they testified to things that, or Mrs. Orway testified to things that these, or the kids, things that these FARC people said to them. And the judge didn't say that he didn't believe that. Right, they did make, they're alleged to have made these comments, these political comments to the sons, right?
Political comments to the sons? I'm out of time, Your Honor.
No,
I
answer that question. Didn't they say that the FARC people had made political... I don't know if it was the mother or
they came
the
down from the mountains, and the judge expresses a little bit of skepticism, but he never makes a particularized credibility finding on that.
Yes, that's true. There's no, in this record, there's no evidence that any of these, the children, the petitioner herself, or the late husband Saul, had ever manifested a political ideology at all. Simply refusing to tender money at gunpoint is not an expression of political opinion. In the past election season, I was approached many times by a political party and asked to donate money. I didn't give them money because I'd given them some. not because I supported the opposition. There's many reasons why, different reasons why people can do something. And simply refusing to accede to extortion is not, in this case, compel a finding that they were imputed with political opinion or that they were viewed, that they were targeted based on their political opinion, because it's just not on this record.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Fiorino. Ms. Chami, how much time does she have? 2 minutes?
It's correct, Your Honor. It's pages 149 and 150 where the motivation of the FARC in approaching the Sons is made absolutely clear. When Sewell testified that they said that they belonged to a different social class, and the FARC guerrillas berated them for their education, for having gone to school, saying, you don't know what it's like to be here in hunger. And that motivation of the FARC for their social group was made absolutely clear. Your questions to the government about immutability are interesting and important, because the Acosta standard, indeed, for social group is that our obligation under asylum law is to provide protection to persons whose life or freedom is threatened because of traits so fundamental to their identities that they cannot or should not be forced to change. And in this instance, in the political context of Colombia, the Orjuelas cannot change their membership in this class of landowners, which is perceived by the FARC and known and as part of the class struggle that they seek to overcome.
Well, and which is I think the testimony you were just referring to. The IJ has focused a lot on wealth, but in fact there are a number of indicia that mark them as being part of this wealthy class, whether it's education, whether it's opportunities in the past, kinds of jobs that they have. It's a series of things.
Absolutely. And asylum law does not require people to change their manner of speech if that's a result of their education or other traits of their identity in order to flee persecution and death and harm.
Well, maybe what you're saying is FARC would be quicker to kill someone like this than some nondescript lottery winner.
Indeed.
They might do it, but not with the same enthusiasm.
Indeed, and the purpose of asylum law is to look at the individualized case and to find whether an experience has been past persecution on account of one of these grounds or whether an applicant has a well-founded fear of future persecution. For all these reasons in our brief, we kindly request
that. I just ask you an irrelevant question. How come both Mayor Brown and this Midwest Immigrant Center are on the brief? Are they affiliates of some sort?
Sponsor her.
You do sponsor.
Yes.
Okay, well, I think that's great because, we've been very concerned with the quality of representation of immigrants in these cases, so we're very glad to see this support. Okay, so thank you very
much. Thank
you,
Your Honor.
And court will be in recess until 9:30
Take care.